morning and welcome to the Albany Report. I'm your host, former State Senator Cecilia Kacik. I wanted to spend some time today talking about rural broadband access, and there's a lot going on. There was a hearing recently about broadband and telephone service in rural communities. We're going to talk about that. I have activist Peter Henner to talk about his request to get the public comments that were made after the governor issued a request for information from the public. He would like to see those comments made public, and we'll talk with him about that. The Rural Broadband Office released its guidelines for the funding to expand rural broadband access in rural communities and unserved areas. So we have a lot to talk about, and joining me via Skype is Peter Henner. Peter, welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We're very glad you're back. I wanted to spend some time today talking about what's going on. There seems to be a lot going on, and things are layered over things, and it could be very confusing. And when we interviewed you last, you were very helpful in helping me to understand what all is happening. So let's just give some background. A year ago, the governor made an announcement that he would commit $500 million from the settlement funds that were gotten from financial bank settlements. $500 million that would be matched by $500 million from local companies to build out and connect more people in unserved and underserved areas in rural broadband connectivity, right? That was a year ago.
Well, yes, that was a year ago. The governor put that in his budget, and it was actually appropriated by the legislature in the budget bill that was passed just about April of, as part of the April 1st budget when it was adopted.
Right. And everyone cheered. Everyone thought that was, especially areas that don't have connectivity or adequate service. Everyone cheered, and we're waiting for a request for funding or guidelines on how the money would be distributed. And then in, was it September or October, where the governor's Rural Broadband Program Office announced a request for information from communities that wanted to access that money, correct?
Well, they had a request for information from anybody who wanted to submit comments, internet providers, anyone who wanted to submit comments on how this thing was to happen. Now, I need to go back and correct one thing you said, if I may. The governor may have said that there was going to be a 50% match when he first announced it, but that was not part of the legislative appropriation. The legislative appropriation simply said $500 million is to be appropriated for unserved and underserved communities, left it to, without specifying how that was to happen. The governor's broadband program office then said and came out and then was saying, well, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to require a 50% match. We're going to do this and that. We're going to rank proposals on economic feasibility. And then they issued the request for information to saying, well, this is what we want to do, and asking any interested party to submit comments as to how they could achieve their goals or what you thought of their goals.
Okay.
So that brings us up to when the request was issued.
And so that was in October when people submitted comments. And I know you were one that did that.
Yeah, the deadline for submitting comments was October 30th.
Okay.
And I submitted comments on behalf of the town of New Scotland, three Albany County legislators, Doug Bullock, Herb Riley, and Michael Mackey, and also an organization that I represent called the Alliance for Environmental Renewal, a public interest legal organization which is the second interest in the issue of broadband.
Okay, so that was the end of October, and then the Rural Broadband Program Office did announce guidelines for funding, right? And that was most recently.
Yes, let me go back a little bit. Yes, they issued the guidelines on January 8th, and that date is significant because that's also, and I think we'll talk about this in a moment, that was also the same date that the Public Service Commission issued its order approving Time Warner's merger with Charter.
Yes. Now, why is that relevant, Peter? Help us understand this. And this is where the overlapping comes into play that I mentioned.
Sure. It's relevant because when the Public Service Commission approved the merger, they imposed a condition on the new merged company that.
Well, I'll keep talking. Hopefully he'll jump in. Time Warner Cable and Charter wanted to merge, and the Public Service Commission has to approve the merger. So the Public Service Commission did approve the merger and put in some stipulations. And one of them is that they had to expand their existing footprint and serve more folks. Can you hear us now? Yes, there you are. I can hear you great. Excellent. So sorry about that. I think if we had better broadband connectivity, this would not be such a problem.
I think so. That's entirely probable. I'm Skyping in from my office, which is located in beautiful rural Clarksville, which among this is a great place to be, except that it doesn't have good broadband.
Well, so we were talking about the Time Warner Cable merge with Charter and the PSC's, the Public Service Commission's role in that. Could you kind of bring us up to speed? We have a lot of, you know, potential efforts going in a positive direction to get more people connected. And where do you see the biggest hurdles facing us now?
Well, the PSC did require 145,000 homes to be connected over a period of 4 years.
Right.
And that's a good start. There are a couple of problems with that, but I think the PSC has done with what you could expect them to do. The problems are that the 145,000 will be done over 4 years. Nobody knows how many units there are. There's an information gap that we don't know how many how many households in the, and this is only in the Time Warner franchise area, so it's not all the people in the state who don't have broadband access, only in those municipalities which have Time Warner franchises and people and where the franchise doesn't extend to everybody.
Right.
And how it's going to work. Nobody has done a census of it. No one knows how this is going to work. Everything's got to be worked out. And it's all sort of a little contingent on other approvals, which haven't yet happened. So it's not clear when or how this is going to happen. But I think the PSC deserves a certain amount of credit for at least making a reasonable effort. There are things I might have wished for a little bit more, like I could have said, you know, Time Warner, you tell us how many there are. You tell us, give us an accounting of it, and you know you can do that relatively quickly, and then do it faster than they have. But at least it's a start. The other problem though is that the Broadband Program Office and from promulgating their guidelines is now saying, well, if you're in a Time Warner franchise area, you're not eligible for any of the funding from our services because you're going to get, presumably you'll get internet through Time Warner, which is great except for the fact that the Time Warner process is going to take years. We don't know when it's going to start. And in the meantime, the money is going to be allocated somewhere else of the $500 million. The other thing which we were talking about before the interruption, which I wanted to say was that after the requests for information were filed, and people, including the Alliance, filed them. That was in October. The guidelines didn't come out until January 10th, or January 8th, I'm sorry, the same date when the PSC issued its order. It's an interesting question, who submitted comments, what those comments were, and how those comments affected the guidelines. Presumably a lot of internet, big guys, internet providers, people with a lot of money, people who are going to be actually driving this whole thing, submitted comments. I submitted a FOIL request on behalf of the Alliance for Environmental Renewal, seeking access to those comments to see what was said. And normally, when public comments are submitted for any state agency or quasi-state agency, like the Broadband Program Office, they should be public. We should know what was said.
Right.
The FRSA Development, which is an umbrella organization for the Broadband Office, has essentially denied my FOIL request. They said, we'll get to it when we get to it, and you'll maybe in a few months. I've treated that as a constructive denial, and the Alliance will be filing an Article 78 proceeding challenging this denial. Because we think it's outrageous that, how these guidelines were promulgated and what went into them, it's a matter the public should know, and we don't know, and that information is being withheld, and the guidelines themselves are skewed in such a way that rural areas are not going to get the money, not just those areas which what may be excluded because of the Time Warner. Basically, the guidelines, in order to compete for the guidelines, you have to compete for a minimum of 2,500 housing units, which means that if you're going to come up with a proposal, that's going to be outside, that's a large area. You can't just do a small proposal for a small part of Schoharie or Greene counties. You've got to do, a whole lot. There are financial eligibility requirements. There's also matching fund requirements. You have to have a 50% private sector match, which is the governor's original idea, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program. Problem with that is if it was economically feasible to do these projects with private money, they would have done it already. So we're not going to get a lot of projects which are going to be helping unserved communities, as the term of art, unserved communities, is places where there's less than 25 megabytes per second. Instead, we're going to get proposals which are going to basically be for those areas that already have broadband. And they're those areas which are economically efficient. It's always going to be more economically efficient to upgrade a program with private money someplace where you have a line than it is to put in a new line to a very rural area like Greene County or in Columbia County or West Schoharie County. So what we're seeing is the $500 million which was appropriated, which the legislature, I think, intended to address the problem of rural broadband access, but instead this money is going to go to those areas which were deemed economically efficient. And that's why it's real critical to see who submitted comments and what those comments were, because I think those comments basically drove the guidelines, and the fact that they're being withheld from the public makes it harder to question what the governor's office is really doing and why they're doing it.
Well, it certainly doesn't lend itself to transparency. Clearly, you ask for public comments, there is a public comment period, and as you said, it's very typical to then release those comments to the public so you can see what people were saying. And you're charging that it's a deliberate stall on the part of the ESD, and what is it?
The Empire State Development, ESD.
Right, Empire State Development Corporation, which oversees the program office. It's a stall on releasing the comments because you don't think it plays into what they're doing now with the guidelines for the funding in the program office. Is that a fair statement?
The open period for grant applications under the guidelines begins on March 1st and goes for 6 weeks until April 15th. So, if there's any challenge to those guidelines, and there may very well be a challenge to those guidelines, I'm certainly thinking about that very hard and seeing who may want to bring such a challenge. But it would certainly be nice to know who said what and where those guidelines came from. The guidelines on themselves can be challenged just because this is not the legislative intention. The legislative intention was clearly to address the problem of rural broadband. And not just rural, by the way, even in New York City, there are a lot of places, there's a lot of people who don't have broadband in New York City. But they address the problem of people, unserved communities.
Right.
That's not going to happen under the guidelines that have been promulgated.
Well, I wanted to make mention that there is a stakeholders forum. The New York Broadband Program is hosting a forum to discuss the new New York Broadband Program. Officials from that office will be discussing the guidelines, the recent release, request for proposal, eligibility requirements, and application process. In addition, I'm just reading off of their website, the Broadband Program Office, state and federal broadband leaders will hold breakout sessions to discuss potential barriers to deployment and successful implementation strategies. This is taking place February 9th, next week, 2016, at 8:30 a.m. at the Holiday Inn, which is on Electronics Parkway, 441 Electronics Parkway, in Liverpool, New York. Where's Liverpool?
Yes, Syracuse.
Near Syracuse. Okay, thank you. So if you want information, and there is a link to click to register to attend the forum, that's the information for the forum is at the Broadband Program Office website, which is nysbroadband.ny.gov. So if you just Google New York Broadband Program Office, you'll get their main page, and then click on the New York Broadband Program, and they list information about the Stakeholders Forum there, and there's a link to click to register to attend the forum. So I think that is something that's available for anyone to attend, I would presume. So there's a way to sit down with folks from the program office and talk about the request for proposals that was submitted and hear what they have to say.
Well, interesting that we announced it. I hadn't heard that, and the fact that it hasn't been widely publicized, although it is nice to know that it is on the website.
Yes, and you're someone who's very connected with this issue, so you know clearly they're not being as open and vocal about things that they're doing, and I just happen to have the website up and saw that.
And the interesting thing, I was signed up to be on all kinds of websites, and they were supposed to my email notifications, and I never received a notification of it. But nevertheless, the question is, when they say stakeholders, I suppose they have to at least make it open to the public. I'm wondering how much this is going to be an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be much of an opportunity for discussion as much as just hearing what they're planning on doing, which is basically what they're planning on doing anyway. They've been fairly consistent about what they want to do, but the problem is that what they want to do is not what is either needed by people who really need broadband, and it's also not what I think the legislative intention is.
Have you been talking with local legislators about this issue, and have they gotten involved, or are they concerned?
I've been trying to talk to a variety of legislators and town and county officials, and trying to and to encourage them to get involved in this process. In my own town, New Scotland, I'm trying to persuade the town to get involved in the CFP process to advocate for a share of the Time Warner funding, which I think is a good idea. But I've also been trying to make town and county officials aware of the problem, what's happening, what the broadband office is doing, how they're not going to get paid, how they're not going to get any money for broadband in their communities, and to encourage them to get involved in doing something about that.
So what would you suggest that towns and county officials do at this point? The RFP is out. If they have
concerns. I would suggest that they seriously consider joining a filing their own lawsuit challenging the guidelines, on the grounds that the guidelines are not what was ordered, that they're not going to address the problem, and this is a serious problem, and unless they start making a lot of noise like that, it's not going to happen. The other thing I might suggest is they contact their state legislative officials and try to get the legislature involved in saying, look, we appropriated $500 million. This is not what we told you to do in funding it. We as the legislature want to have some oversight into this. We want to consider corrective legislation. Maybe there's some, at a certain legislative level, they can effectively negotiate with the governor's office and try to see if they can address those problems through a legislative process.
Mm-hmm. So
I've not been getting a lot of, I think most of the legislators because some of that on a state legislative basis, it means that they really have to get involved in saying no to the governor, and that's a tough thing to expect a legislator to do.
Well, we are hearing, we have budget hearings going on now, so people are, welcome to contact their legislators and weigh in on the budget process. We're talking about a program that was started in last year's budget negotiations. But I think it's important for people who, if they have concerns or questions or are worried that this funding is not going to meet their needs, they need to let their local legislators know that so that while they're negotiating this year's budget, if they have an opportunity to make some adjustments. And clearly the legislature does negotiate with the governor over the budget process, that if they hear from their constituents, especially in rural areas, they can ensure that the next budget maybe addresses some of the missing pieces. But I think because of the unsettled merger decision around the PSC and the Time Warner Cable and Charter merger, when would that get settled? And it's already impacting the guidelines. So if that, how final is that, and when does that get finalized? Do you know?
I don't think anyone knows the answer to that. I mean, at time, I mean, there's obviously more proceedings that have to be happened. There's got to be the feds are looking at this, and remember that the Time Warner merger is not just New York State, it's another state.
Right.
So what will happen when it will happen is not clear.
So municipalities in the Time Warner areas, they really should be talking to Time Warner, right? And pressuring
absolutely.
Them to expand in their areas.
I think it's absolutely the right time to do it. They should be talking to Time Warner, and if Time Warner won't talk to them, they should be formally moving to intervene in the PSC process, seeking party status and saying, we want to be a part of this. And because we have an interest in how you're going to do this. And mechanically, there's an interesting thing in the order. They say, well, my mother says, well, maybe we don't even have 145,000 units. Maybe we have less than that. And I don't know the answer to that. I suspect but the fact that they don't know that and that they're that low on the learning curve tells me that they really have a lot to do and that it's got to be pressed, and they've got to be pressed to do it as soon as possible.
Right. Well, Peter, we are just about out of time, and sorry again for the technical difficulties earlier in the show. If people want information about the new New York broadband program, and they can go to nysbroadband.ny.gov, and you can learn about the stakeholders forum. Peter, if people wanted to contact you and talk further about your efforts to shine a light on this process and get more information out about what's happening with it, how do people contact you?
Best way is probably by email at peter@peterhenner, peterhenner.com, peter@peterhenner.com. They could also call me at 518-423-7799, but email is probably the best way. peterhenner.com is also my website, so they can see what kinds of things I've been doing and I'm likely to keep doing.
Well, Peter, thank you for coming on the show and sharing information with us, and good luck in your endeavors. And we will be signing off on this week's edition of the Albany Report, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Bill.